On the net. We're going today to the book of Colossians, and you can read along with me my notes on dlwire.com. Our subject today is spiritual fullness. Colossians 2, 6-7 has the added intro, spiritual fullness in Christ. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. We've talked about being in Him before, and continue to do so now, in a sense. This is putting a kind of a different light on it, but we are to live in Him. So, well, what is exactly does in Him mean? Well, what is spiritual fullness? I've kind of jumped ahead in Paul's letter and may have missed the full implication, but in Colossians 1:10, he writes, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God," which appears to be an introduction to this idea of spiritual fullness. An identifying mark of this group was their ethical practice of asceticism and unrestrained licentiousness. They possibly got the asceticism from the influence of Greek Stoicism, and the unrestrained licentiousness from the influence of Greek Epicureanism. Paul refutes this in Colossians 2:16-23, as well as Chapter 3, verses 5-9. It is not unlike what happens in all walks of life through and thought today. So many Christian leaders have given in to licentious conduct. So many more Christians have followed in their footsteps. In part, Paul identifies the problem, saying, "Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. And that's in chapter 2, verse 23. Carrying a label doesn't mean you conduct your life in a manner that exemplifies that label. That much is true regardless of anyone's identification with a particular group. What Paul is saying is that as Christ followers, we need to exemplify his character and live by his example. By doing this, we will fill up our spiritual capacity. And Paul explains that in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That's from Colossians 2, chapter 9. In Ephesians 4:11 through 13, he writes, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attained the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And this certainly is not a new concept. Philosophers and religious teachers have emphasized this for centuries. What Paul is telling his readers is new is that we can partake of the fullness that Jesus attained. Most philosophies and religions teach that this fullness is something we must personally acquire through self-discipline. While Paul is not condemning that, he does describe its futility, especially in light of the free gift from Jesus. He teaches that this fullness that Jesus obtained can be accessed by us as we strive toward that fullness. He explains this more in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. Just like the Stoic, the Plutonian, the Buddhist, and so on, the Christian must study under more advanced teachers, which makes us disciples. That is why Paul tells the Corinthians to imitate him in 1 Corinthians 4:16. While teachers are only human and do make mistakes, we should not shy away from them, but rather learn and emulate them in the right ways. Our objective then is to walk the walk that Jesus did. He is our example. Yes, Jesus loans his fullness while we are laboring to become more like him, but only if we are laboring to become more like him. And I want to thank you for joining us on Church on the Net today. Be sure and come back again next week at this same time. Thank God.
my precious Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be.